Now I'd like to move on to some practical interventions that have been going on in our region. So first of all, I'm delighted to welcome Andy Darren, Chief Executive of Groundwork, Cheshire, Lancashire and Merseyside. And Andy's been working in Groundwork for nearly 2 decades, I think, and he helped to lead the award-winning Target Wellbeing Programme and doing some fantastic work in the opportunity that the environment provides for volunteering and a whole range of activities that Andy's going to share with us now. So, Andy.
Thanks, Gideon. I didn't remember half of that stuff, so that's great. Things I've been involved with. I'd just like to thank William first before I start, because it's a tough act to follow William. But he won't know because we've not met before. But the work that he's done has inspired me and my colleagues within Groundwork and other organisations like us for a number of years now. And so I'd like to thank him because we've met him here. And hopefully he'll see some of what he's talked about in some of our slides. That's me. Just before we start, just a little bit about Groundwork, really. I'll just change my slides slightly. We've been prescribing Fitterix since 1982. This is an advert from the St. Helens Star when we were first formed, our first office in St. Helens. We've been working with the environment and to connect people with the environment ever since. Our vision is to build more sustainable communities. And by that, we mean, you know, people were places where people want to live, places where people can work and have the opportunity to work and the skills to work, places that are free from crime, where local environments valued, and places where people are fit and they're healthy. We do that through the environment. The environment is our tool to engage people in that process. So fast forward on the 20 odd years or more that Gideon refers to, and now we work across the UK. We've got projects in all parts of Britain. We have an affiliated movement in the US, Groundwork Trust in Japan. And so from that small office in St. Helens, helping people get out and active, it's really quite big stuff that we're doing now. I want to concentrate on a couple of practical examples of projects that we're working on. Different stages in their evolution. This is a derelict land site in Northwich in Cheshire 10 years ago. It was an old local authority nursery. It was derelict. The glass was all smashed in the greenhouses. It was a drugs den. It was arson on a regular basis. And the council at the time, Vale Royal Borough Council, asked us if we could work with them to try and turn this into something, some sort of community asset, really. So I never wanted to look a gift horse in the eye. We took this on for a pound a year, and 10 years later, we're still there. We developed the site with small grants, bits of money, bits of support. BTCV helped. They brought a team along to help develop the site. The Cheshire Wildlife Trust helped. We got some lottery money. There's a rolled through the lottery money allowed us to develop more assets, more people volunteered as we built more things to do on the site, and this is what it looks like today, 10 years on. So it's a flourishing community garden, it's a wildlife haven, provides volunteering opportunities for all people of all sorts of backgrounds, and it provides social and horticultural therapy, particularly for people with mild and moderate mental health issues, stress, anxiety, depression. And in the last 10 years, over 2,000 people have volunteered with us on this project. Last year, that equated to 3,000 days worth of volunteer time that people provided to work on the project. And that we know through our sort of regular surveys and WenWeb surveys and things like that, that 95% of the people that work with us have a demonstrable improvement in their mental health during their time with us. The referrals over the time, we've built up a big network of referrals from our partners. So people find out about us from their GP, from a Cheshire Community Mental Health team, Cheshire Social Care team, Brio Leisure, the leisure services provider in Cheshire, the House Association, Weaver Vale, the Job Centre, youth offending teams, etc. And just referrals, word of mouth. People bring their friends, people bring family members. Currently, we're open 4 days a week to the public. We staff the service with paid employees and with experienced volunteers. So we couldn't do as much as we do if we didn't have those volunteers. We also have a 5 day a week where we're open but not public access, so we deliver employment-based horticultural-based employment training programmes for people who have been out of work for a long time. The drop-in gardening sessions, we have a rota of all different activities that we're doing, and the volunteers design that rota themselves. So as well as gardening, we do music, arts, craft. There's an outdoor kitchen, pizza oven, so we grow stuff and we cook stuff. A big sort of cultural celebration, really. The development of a social network amongst people who were often vulnerable and isolated when they first joined the project. We have a peer-led mental health support group that meets in a yurt with a wood-burning stove. In terms of the value of the work that the volunteers do, we've been commissioned. They have been commissioned by the Environment Agency to do some citizen science and some conservation work beyond the garden's boundaries. They were commissioned by Northwich Town Centre to manage the hanging baskets and the planters as part of the In Bloom programme, which won a Silver Gilt this year. So that's a town centre that's managing its physical landscape using a project that's mainly staffed for people with mental health problems. The garden itself won a gold medal, and you might have seen that on Gardener's World earlier in the year. Some survey work with the volunteers to look at other things that we could do. We introduced a toddler group, which is my favourite picture. There's a mug kitchen, there's a forest schools area, and we identified a sort of vulnerability and loneliness around new parents. And so we've been running a toddler group for 18 months now, and we've had 600 toddlers that participated within that programme. This is my favourite picture, not the last one. Grozon was 10 years old this year, and we had a big festival over 2 days. Invited everyone who'd ever been involved, big party. There was singing and dancing. It's a sort of slide about sustainability, really, about what happens. Sort of, we've had bits of grant funding, then we had a big lottery programme, then we had 2 or 3 years of sustained support from Director of Public Health at Cheshire whilst they had the resources to do that. Latterly, we're running this on small grants, bits of commissioned work that we get from people, an increasing reliance on experienced volunteers to lead sessions. It is a hand-to-mouth existence for what is quite a remarkable project that changes the lives of most of the people that are involved within it. It's interesting conversations. We go through the day about the split between paid staff running stuff like this and volunteers taking on that role within the community. The second project I wanted to mention briefly is a project in Blackpool. This is much newer. We've been involved here for about 18 months. And the learning that we've had from Grozon, how we've run it, how it's evolved over time, was fed into this. This is a community centre in Grange Park in Blackpool called City Learning Centre. At the Grange, it was one of about 100 City Learning Centres that were built around the country by the end of the last Labour government. The idea to provide adult education services within housing areas, so for people that would not normally access college or university for further education, it was to try to an outreach programme. And it worked pretty well, but after a while the money ran out, service declined, the council moved their staff in order to reduce the costs, and people stopped coming to where we are today. About 3 years ago, the council ran an alcohol inquiry on Grange Park Estate to look into the what actions could be taken to help prevent or to deal with the issues of alcohol and excess alcohol consumption. And the number one issue that came back from the estate residents was give us back our community centre. So the public health team of Blackpool Council commissioned groundwork to develop the community centre City Learning Centre as a community centre and to develop it as a social enterprise to try and find an exit strategy for the council. Just briefly, so as part of that we reconfigured the CLC. We turned some of it into retail space. There's a one-stop shop and a chemist. There wasn't any shops before. There's a community cafe. I'm hoping these slides tie up with what I'm saying because I can't see them with the sun. There's a community cafe that provides sort of low-cost, affordable food. The council commissioned a new library, so they pay us to provide a library service. There's a community shop that's run by a faith group called His Provision. It's a kind of food bank, but you earn credits to spend in the shop by volunteering somewhere within the community centre or the wider estates campus, if you like, so the primary school or the health centre or Sure Start Centre. Alongside those assets, we developed the outside of the City Learning Centre into a community garden. Again, 3 years' worth of support from the lottery to do that. We've built raised beds, polytunnels, fruit orchard, pizza oven. We've got plant and vegetable sales linked to the community centre. And we have either we or other people deliver a series of gardening services and training from there. So we've got contracts from adult education, diversionary activity contracts, the schools use the site, Better Start, which is an early years programme in Blackpool, used the project. And so all of the reason it's slightly more sustainable than Northwich, I think, is that there's a variety of services that are on offer from the Grange, not just the community garden. And service providers see the footfall through the centre. There's been 10,000 visitors to the Grange since it opened in January. And see it as a viable place to deliver services. So there's an income that supports the community centre through people trying to access our residents, subscribing or hiring space or commissioning services to be delivered there. And there's 40 volunteers that support the garden, and they grew 2 tonnes of fruit and veg in this first year, a lot of which was sold through the shop or was used to make food in the cafe. The last project that I wanted to focus on is a project in Speak called Grow Speak. This used to be a boys' club until the mid-80s. It closed through lack of funding, it became derelict, it was knocked down, and it's been a site like this, about the size of 6 football pitches, bounded on all sides by houses for over 10 years. South Liverpool Homes and Blackburn House had been to Grow's own and were inspired by what they'd seen, and they commissioned us to work with them to help turn this project over 10 years, a long-term commitment, into a garden that can deliver those kind of services. So a health centre, a care setting, a community college, school, community garden for people to just enjoy. We got some poetic justice. We got £50,000 worth of funding from the police, which was a result of the confiscated proceeds of crime linked to the estate where the garden is. We got funding from Fusion 21, which is a procurement vehicle owned by all of the housing associations in Merseyside and Milan, others, and that's reinvesting some of its profits in community projects that are linked to its members, and so they've supported the project. And also a lot of support from local businesses. And it looks like this as it works ongoing. It's a long process. I think importantly with this project, our commissioning partners have been involved from the beginning. So all the people that we see as having a stake in sustaining the project long term were sat around the table when we said, let's do this project. We didn't do that at Grow's Own. We're trying to find a way of engaging them 10 years on when the money's running out. So we've repositioned that partnership. And the other important difference, I think, has been the role of the private sector, which we've not really made the most of in the past. So Keep Moat, who were building new houses for South Liverpool Homes, they removed 250 tonnes of hard standing so that we could turn a what was a big playground into a garden, and they then provided 250 tonnes of topsoil, which is worth a lot to us. South Liverpool Homes have provided the corporate team building day or staff team building day, where 200 people spend 2 days with us on site clearing the rubbish. We had Jaguar Land Rover built a Hugel culture system for us. Kia Construction put up our polytunnel. The yellow cabin has been donated by the power station at Fiddler's Ferry. So there's a different approach. We haven't got big sums of money that we might have had in the past, and so we beg, borrowing and cadging from anyone that might have an interest in trying to support this project. And support we've had from the private sector here has been fabulous. We've got 15 regular volunteers now, and it's just looking positive, but a big challenge. William had mentioned Bob also in his slide, so this next slide, we've got a short film that all of our Bobs explaining how the impact on their lives from their involvement with our projects.
Growzone's a community garden, wildlife and horticultural therapy project in Northwich here in Cheshire. We welcome people of all ages and abilities to come along and take part in a range of outdoor activities, all of which are geared towards improving their physical and mental well-being.
Tom and Daryl, what do you want to do? Do you want to do cooking?
No, I'll do the wood.
Okay.
We do wildlife gardening, we do a lot of food growing, we do music workshops, we do a lot of cooking with vegetables that we've grown here on site, we do a lot of construction projects, various things that kind of that help wildlife but also help all the people who are actually taking part in those activities themselves.
I had a big issue leaving the house. Not as much as I used to, but I did have major anxiety problems. I didn't really have anything to look forward to, no friends, lack of motivation. They slowly introduced me working closer and closer towards sort of like a group activity. All of a sudden we just, few of us just started talking one day and we've just become good close friends ever since.
I feel different when I'm here, I feel different when I go home, because it's completely changed my life. Being down here and doing things that I've never done before, it's just completely changed it. And I'm happy in myself being down here.
I suffer from agoraphobia, and so when I first was looking for somewhere to volunteer, there wasn't really anything locally, living in quite a rural area, until I came across this, and I was able to volunteer online to begin with, help them with things like research and technical things, and I helped them to get one of the first grants that got this place running. At the time I had a support worker, and support workers would come twice a week to try and get me here, and to begin with I could get to the far end of the site, and I'd talk to people through the hedge, but I couldn't go all the way around, I was panicking. So it probably took at least another 18 months, 2 years, just to come round and come to the front and feel comfortable. Coming here, there's people you can talk to from all different walks of life, and you just kind of feel less alone to begin with. And that's what really helped me to sort of start leaving the house and start doing things again. I've been able to then develop a business and earn a wage and start to kind of move away from benefits. Safety net is really for me. Everybody comes to the door, you see a massive change in them pretty quickly.
Anyway, I'd be lost without it. That's how I would feel. You know, just send me straight back down the ladder. That's how I would go. Because, I mean, to me, this is a home. That's how I feel of it. I'm lost without it. That's how it goes for me.
It's like a second home. So I'm down in there every day, so it's like a second home.
It's chilly, chilled, chilled, so relaxed. It's calm and hear birds between your ears. Hear train past you.
I've actually made lots of friends since I've been here for a year and a half, and I've actually made new friends.
Something classic as family.
Yeah, it really is. It's extended family. Everybody gets on, everybody comes in. There's no finished article for this place. It's a work in progress, and it always will be, because the whole point of it is the process and the journey through that process. What we're doing is more important than what we end up with.
All the hard work and effort that people put in, just thinking about it, it just almost brings tears to your eyes, or like a lump in your throat.
What's the best thing about happy.
That's me pretty much done. This last slide is just our call to arms, which we always use, really. If anybody wants to get involved in any of those projects, it's got skills to offer, support, time, or wants to look at projects like that elsewhere, then our details are in the pack, and we're keen to help. Okay, thank you.